Good morning, Delaware. It is a great morning here in Delaware. We are delighted to have you with us. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, George.
We have not one but two special guests in the studio today. The one who's going to be doing more of the talking is, yes, you, Kelly Cochran, who's the new service manager at the Delaware County District Library. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
And our second special guest is actually our audience member today, Ms. Wynn Fowles. Yay, Wynn. You have heard about Wynn many times on this show. Today she is joining us. She is sitting here with her little tablet and doing great stuff. And we were just having a very serious discussion.
Very serious.
About unicorns, pegasi, flying and stuff like that. So, but I said we are not going to get into doctrinal disputes on the radio.
That's right.
So we're not going to do that. So, Kelly's going to be telling us about some of the stuff that's coming up with youth services this the rest of the summer and into the autumn. We have some great news about in-person programming coming back, and we're going to talk about a big program coming up a week from Saturday at Orange. So lots to talk about today. But before we do that, Nicole, what have you been reading, listening to, and stuff?
I finished a book.
you wrote one?
What? No. Yes.
No cueing from the studio audience.
Yeah, exactly. I listened to this. I had a little vacation, so we had a little drive time, and I listened to The Silent Patient by Alex Michaelides. This is a book that is not in the newer, let me remember. Oh, this was published in 2019, so I guess it is newish. But when I brought it up to several people, they were all like, oh, yeah, that's great. So apparently I'm late to the game on this one, late to the party. This is Michaelides' pretty much debut novel. If you've never heard of him before, he also has one more out right now that is at like the top of all the popular lists. If you try and request it on Libby, you're going to be waiting probably 6 months for it in an ebook or audiobook. In his past, he was a screenwriter. And so this, I think knowing that helped me kind of make sense of how he wrote this book, because it was a lot of you could see the dual timelines happening, and you could see the, you know, oh, this is what's happening over here. Meanwhile, you know, cut to things happening over here. So that's how his book reads a lot. What happens in it is Alicia Berenson is a famous painter. She's married to an in-demand fashion photographer. She lives in a beautiful house. Life seems to be perfect. But then she's arrested for murder, and the scene is not pretty, and it doesn't look very much like it could be anyone but her. She's standing in her kind of living room next to her fireplace, and her husband is tied to a chair with multiple gunshot wounds, and she has all of the things all over her, and she's got a painting in front of her, though, that very much looks like the scene of the crime. And when the police come to arrest her, she looks like she's in shock. She's just standing there, not moving, motionless. And then another thing interesting happens. She's silent, and throughout her entire trial, she doesn't speak. She goes to a mental hospital for her incarceration, and she's not speaking there either. And along comes Theo Faber, and he is a criminal psychotherapist, and he has kind of been dreaming of Alicia as his patient. And so he goes ahead, and there's an opening at the mental hospital where she's being incarcerated, and he applies and he gets the job. And then he decides that this is going to become his thing that he's going to pay attention to. He is going to see if he can crack Miss Berenson and get her to speak. And so it's, if you like your psychological thrillers with a little bit of a detective kind of feel, this is a good novel for you, because Theo Faber also, because he becomes a little bit obsessed with Miss Berenson. Yes. And so as his obsession grows, he, you know, kind of contacts friends and family wanting to learn more about, you know, her, so that he can more aptly care for her. But he's asking a lot of questions that really aren't in his realm as a psychotherapist. I will also say, if you like your novels with a twist, you'll like this one.
Okay.
There was a moment where we were driving, and my husband and I are both listening to it. The girls have their headphones on in the back seat or they're sleeping. I had to stop it and yell for about 2 minutes. And then I was like, okay, I'm done now. And I turned it back on. and then I went back to it. Yeah. So if you like your novels with a twist too, this one has a good one.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. It's called The Silent Patient by Alex Michaelides.
Great. Kelly, what are you? I see a pile of books here by you.
Those are Nicole's.
Those are mine. Oh.
I have no books with me. I just have this little paper with my notes. The book I'm reading, and I'm so close to the end, is My Plain Jane. And it's written by three authors, Cynthia Hand, Jody Meadows, and Brody Ashton. And it's a historical rom-com mystery with ghost. And it's written as a retelling of the classic novel Jane Eyre.
Oh.
So it's kind of a silly redo of it. You don't have to know Jane Eyre to appreciate it, but there are some witty sides that are probably more funny if you do know a little bit about Jane Eyre. But this book is, each chapter is a different viewpoint. There are three characters and three authors. So a different author writes each chapter, and it's a different viewpoint. There is Charlotte Bronte, who is an aspiring writer and Jane's best friend. And that's also the person who wrote Jane Eyre.
Right,
so there's a little there.
Sounds familiar.
And then Jane Eyre, who in this adaptation can see ghosts.
Mm.
And then there's... I don't remember this character being in the first one, but I read the first one, the original Jane Eyre, a long time ago. But there's Alexander, who is a part of an association that removes wayward ghosts. So that's what's going on. So Jane becomes a governess for a rich guy. The rich guy has a lot of secrets, just like in the original Jane Eyre. Lots of hidden things in the home, if you know Jane Eyre. But she falls in love with him anyways because he's tall and his bad mood swings aren't all the time. So she falls in love with him.
Why? Why do we do that? It makes no sense.
She's like, well, I guess this works. Okay. And then Alexander learns about Jane's abilities to see ghosts. She is a seer. So he wants Jane to join their association and become a ghostbuster with them. And in that journey... they all kind of find this rich guy has way more secrets than anyone thought. And they impacted Alexander's life, too. So now it's becoming a web. And then Charlotte is Jane's best friend who's begging her to join the society. And maybe is falling in love with Alexander.
Oh, no.
So you got that going on. But this book is actually a part of a series. It's called the Lady Janey series. And there are three of them in this series. But they aren't related to each other. You can read them in whatever order you want. There is My Lady Jane, which retells the story of King Edward and all the wives who were... beheaded. And then the last one is My Calamity Jane, which is based on the Annie Oakley story. And then there's also a Mary series done by these authors, which in the first one is called My Contrary Mary, which has shapeshifters, which is a hard word for me to say.
Are these adult books?
I'm glad you asked. That's my next bullet. They are recommended for 13 plus.
That sounds right. I was like, this is a YA book if I've ever heard
it
one.
It is very, very YA.
Oh, goodness.
However, I have this bullet says, I'm enjoying it immensely as a 30-something woman who read Jane Eyre in high school and only remembers the very basics. But it's very silly. It's very quick. It's very, there's silliness in it. There's these witty side remarks like, oh, and then there's always something for them to hide behind, like a panel or something, which was very normal in that time. The audiobook is amazing. I love the audiobook. With the witty asides are even funnier because the narrator has this deadpan delivery kind of thing. So that's what I'm reading.
Goodness.
Okay, give us the title again.
It is My Plain Jane, and it's by Cynthia Hand, Jody Meadows, and Brody Ashton.
Great. All right. So my book, which I was going to talk about last week, but we got into it so much with Zach that I didn't even want to stop because it was so good. My book this week is A Very Punchable Face.
It's so good.
Which is by Colin Jost, who, if you don't know that name, it's probably because you stopped watching Saturday Night Live years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Colin Jost is one of the reasons to watch Saturday Night Live today.
Yes.
He hosts their Weekend Update along with Michael Che. The two of them and one other person are the head writers for Saturday Night Live now. And Colin follows in that tradition of Seth Meyers and Tina Fey and Dennis Miller, Jimmy Fallon, all the way back to Bill Murray and Chevy Chase as the deadpan host of Weekend Update, and has really revitalized it. It is so funny now. It's the reason I stay up Saturday nights to watch this show, is to catch him and Michael Che and what they do. But before he was doing that, before he became an on-screen member of the cast, he was writing for Saturday Night Live since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
At the ripe old age of 22, he talks about all the struggles he went through and all this. And it's like, I'm thinking, oh, but wait a minute. He's 22 and he's writing for an NBC series that's been around for 40 years.
And he's married to Scarlett Johansson.
Well, he
now.
Wasn't in 2005.
No, but now.
But now he is, yeah.
I mean, I think life's okay.
That's, you know, you're talking about your bullet points. I have one bullet point alone that just says Scarlett Johansson. So anyway, he really does have a kind of an interesting life. He comes from Staten Island. He and Pete Donaldson, who's also on the Saturday Night Live cast, have very similar backgrounds. Colin Jost's mother was the medical director for the New York City Fire Department on 9/11 and was actually saved by firefighters twice during all of the activities on that morning, and was obviously profoundly affected by that. Pete Donaldson, of course, lost his father
Davidson.
On 9/11.
Davidson. I was like, something
Donaldson.
Felt
yes,
wrong.
Davidson.
Yes, Davidson. Yeah. There it is.
Anyway, so this is it's a very easy to read book. It's very episodic. It does have some themes in it, like I think he has a pretty strong imposter syndrome going.
Mm-hmm.
Like at any moment now, Lorne Michaels is going to say, why did I hire this guy?
Right.
And he's going to just, you know, be out on the street. On the other hand, he has been around for a very long time when you consider how people usually come and go with Saturday Night Live, since he's been there since, like I said, 2005.
The writers tend to hang out longer.
That's
like,
true,
if they stay more behind the scenes, they tend to hang out a little bit longer.
I think people watching the show get sick of the shtick for certain actors, and like, they can watch them for a couple of years, and then it's like, no more.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are some people like Tracy Morgan, who's been on there for a long time, and
Conan O'Brien started there. He had a long spiel there.
Yeah, so I just think that this is really good. If you're interested in the show, if you're interested in the kind of the behind the scenes thing, of course he wasn't even born during the era when Chevy Chase and it was truly an Animal House. But he does bring it up in the present day and shows the kind of stresses you go through to actually produce a live weekly show and how ephemeral it is. Like it's Saturday or Sunday morning at 1 a.m. when that show goes off the air, it's over there, you know, and it's just Monday morning, you start over again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really an interesting look behind the scenes, and he does write so well and with such great humor. He also has some interesting takes on the other people that he's worked with there, especially people like Tina Fey and Michael Che, who they have that kind of love-hate relationship on the screen, and it plays out. And there was one time when Michael Che got them involved in doing a worldwide wrestling event that is just hysterical. So anyway, it's called A Very Punchable Face. And on the cover, you sort of want to punch his face.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
He's got an everyman kind of look.
Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm. And the everyman who has been, you know, writing for a hit TV series for 16 years and just married to Scarlett Johansson. Okay, that's the end of my Lewis Black imitation. And we will be right back after this break to talk about what's coming up with youth services at the Delaware County District Library. So stay tuned. Thank you very much, Gage Tellis, behind the board there for
that's
us.
That's
I got it right this time. I didn't
tell
you anything else. And, of course, thanks to the Friends of the Library for their sponsorship of our program. We really do appreciate it. We had a really good board meeting on Wednesday. Lots of good things coming with the Friends, and you'll hear more about those in the weeks to come. So, Kelly, take a deep breath. We are actually through summer reading, and it was a big hit.
Is it over, though? I feel like I still have a few
things. Oh, my God, it's like the horror movies where you think you've killed off the villain, and then...
And then it still shows up at the end.
I don't know if I'm ready for it to be over. I love summer reading.
This year in particular was fun because we tried some new things. Mm-hmm. We had some wins. You know what? I don't think we had any major fails all around. I think everything was very, very fun. But now I'm ready. I'm ready for 22. Let's start planning 2022.
Oh, yeah. I've already started that. That started in the middle. I was like, well, next year when I do this, I'll do this.
So what was a success this year?
Well, I do have some unofficial stats.
Oh yeah, tell
about
us
how many kids participated. And this is without outreach. So outreach usually does like over 1,000 kids. They
go to daycares.
They reach
have big groups of big groups of kids.
They're outreaching.
Yes.
What?
It's a good name. Name them what they are. So the way we do summer reading club is there's two milestones. They keep track of their reading. 6 hours is the halfway point. They get their first prize. And that's the first time we kind of get them in our stats. And then at 12 hours, they completed the program. So they've read their 12 hours for the summer. At 6 hours, they get a tote with a bunch of coupons and fun stuff in it. And then at 12 hours, they get a free book that they get to keep forever and ever and ever. So the kids that read 6 hours this summer so far, these are unofficial, but we had 2,616 kids.
Wow.
We bought like 3,000 totes.
That's perfect.
We were close.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, then
that's
you
the
put
goal.
That together with the outreach. That's better than we used to do pre-COVID days.
Yes.
That is fantastic.
Yes, it is. Woo woo.
Great news.
And then this is what the children's librarians get really excited about. So the completion rate, we had 2,045 kids finish, which is a 78% completion rate.
Back in the day, it was like 30. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes.
That's fantastic.
Way to go. Way to go, Delaware County readers.
Yes.
And I also
and great kudos to the staff for handling that many kids and doing it without any, without a net.
it's been very busy this summer. And I do have adult stats too.
Yay. We read
so
too.
Adults were a little bit different. They get to do a bookmark. And if they read 4 books or went to 4 programs or a combination of both, they got entered in to win a prize. So the number of adults who did at least one bookmark is 297.
Cool.
Which I think is.
And I think that's mostly, I think we have more adults than that reading, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's just the number of adults who are like, I want a prize.
Yep. Well, we only have 100 people on staff, so we know it wasn't all staff.
Yes. Right.
Yes. Yes. So it was a huge, huge summer.
That's great.
And I kind of loved it because yes, we did do online programming, and there were some in-person programs, but it was really back to the core of reading. My little children's librarian heart was singing, like, oh, look at all these people reading.
It doesn't matter if we have all the fluff. It doesn't matter if we have all the, the taekwondo and the animals and the things like that. Like, kids still want to read.
Yep, they do.
And reading over the summer, here I go on my soapbox, reading over the summer is very important because it helps kids maintain those skills over the summer, their reading skills. So when they go back to school, they are at the same level and they don't have the summer slide. So
I think it was even more important this year with the remote learning and everything. So great. So you said we did mostly virtual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had a lot of questions about when we're going back to in-person programming. So what can you tell us about that?
We've done a few things, and actually we have one, I believe, next week.
Yes.
Next Tuesday.
Correct.
At PAL. We're going to have a petting zoo that has farm animals. It's with our friends Bring the Farm to You. We've done a couple other ones of those. So We're tiptoeing in there, and then when the quarterlies come out or our check it out booklets, you will see that we do have some in-person programs planned, especially for the school age and the teens. The little guys, we're still hashing out the details on that. They're a little bit trickier, but yeah, we're working on it. We're coming.
So you mentioned that the quarterly will be coming out. That'll be coming out towards the end of August.
If you subscribe to our weekly events list, you'll get a sneak preview at it this weekend.
I was just about to suggest that very
thing. Look at you.
VIP.
So excellent. And then we do have one in-person program coming up a week from Saturday. And I noticed when I saw that pile of books, I realized that the top one is by the author who is coming.
All 4 of them are by the author.
Okay, all I could see was the top one. So I left my x-ray glasses at home. So
work on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So talk about Molly Idle.
So Molly Idle is a picture book author and illustrator. Ooh, she's showing it for the webcam. She's won awards. She does the Camp Rex series where there's Camp Rex, Sea Rex, T-Rex, which is so cute. T-Rex is one of our favorites at our house. It's about a T-Rex who goes to a tea party and brings some of their dinosaur friends. And it It becomes a mess.
I would think so.
Yeah. It gets a little crazy.
We were reading through Camp Rex yesterday, and it reads like a guidebook to camping. Mm-hmm. Like, when camping, one must do blah, 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 blah. But then you put that text next to the pictures, and you see that the pictures don't quite match up with what one must do when camping. So we thought that one was pretty cute. And I think T-Rex is also kind of written that way, too. Yes. When having a tea party, one must
dress up.
This is a big deal, too. Miley Idol's a Caldecott Honor-winning author-illustrator. Mm-hmm. And that is a major honor. That is one of the biggest honors you can get. It's like being an Academy Award winner or an Emmy winner in the children's field. So this is really great to have her here. And
I think we didn't even mention her most popular series is the Flora series.
Yes.
So that's a little girl named Flora, and most of the books that you'll know with that are Flora and some sort of bird. So Flora and the Flamingo, Flora and the Penguin, there's a peacock, there's lots of other, I think chicks are in there as well. Beautifully illustrated. I don't even know if Flora and the Flamingo has words in it.
They are all wordless.
Yeah.
I hope she doesn't mess around with pigeons.
No, I don't think I've seen a Flora and the Pigeon.
That's good. The pigeon is the one you're trying to keep off the bus.
Exactly.
Okay, so
she and Mo could collaborate on that one. But yeah, so she'll be at our Orange Branch Library next Saturday, August 7th at 10 a.m. She will be outside in the Imagination Garden. Keep your fingers crossed for a beautiful, beautiful forecast. We have partnered with Beanbag Books. They are our store in downtown Delaware. They will be selling books on site. But you could also stop in advance if you wanted to, but they will be selling books on site. Molly will be there. She will be doing a book signing. She'll be doing some drawing. This will be the inaugural use of our pavilion in the Orange Branch Library. And we're just so excited to have this event.
That sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. So, all right, we got just a couple of minutes left here, and I got a couple of other things I do want to point up. New story walks are going up at Powell and Orange and Ostrander this week, coming week. So you want to stop by there. We've got the new books coming up. You Don't Want a Unicorn by Amy Dickman is going to be at Powell. Summer Song by Kevin Henkes is at Orange. And A Good Neighborhood by Teresa Ann Fowler is, I'm sorry, that's the book that Kathy's book club is reading. Excuse me. I had it written in nice bright pink here so I could see it. I just put it in the wrong place. Anyway, Ostrander, I don't have the title of the book that they're doing. You don't happen to have that.
I have Kathy's book club written down too. A Good Neighborhood by Teresa Ann Fowler.
Yes, so you want to make sure that you check those out. The one at Delaware is down right now because we're having some construction work done on the side of the building. We had some drainage issues. We're doing some kind of renovation, sprucing that area up. Storywalk will go back up when it's safe to do so.
Yeah.
I hope you're enjoying those because those are just, I've seen so many families as I visit the branches going out and walking around those storywalks. They are a nice way to get some air, do a little exercise walking around, and work on your reading to prevent the slide.
Woo! Ties it all in.
See, it just all ties together when you come right down to it. So anyway, we want to, again, thank the Friends of the Library for sponsoring the show. Thank you, Gage, for your work behind the board.
Sure.
Nicole, as always, it's a pleasure. Hey, Wynn, you did a great job being our studio audience today. Thank you. And, of course, Kelly Cochran, our youth services manager. Thank you very much for everything you do for the children and the parents and the caregivers of Delaware County. Thank you. And so we'll sign off here, and we will see you in the stacks.